This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. And on the first Friday of each month, we take on a topic of environmental pertinence in Michigan, and we do so with Lisa Wozniak. Lisa is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and serves as my co-host of WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. And welcome back for the September edition, Lisa.
Thank you, Dave. I'm glad to be back. And our guest today is Ed Verhaeghe. Ed is a project engineer with Limnotech and also Vice President of the International Association for Great Lakes Research, which represents over 900 scientists from across the Great Lakes region and the world related to issues facing the largest lakes in the world, those that surround us.
Well, welcome to the show, Ed. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, today we're here to discuss yet another massive algae bloom in Lake Erie, which we tend to talk a lot about. This 2019 edition of this bloom, last I checked, covered about 620 square miles of our fourth largest Great Lake. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it's been growing larger. Just yesterday, the update was 650 square miles.
Oh, before we get into the work that you do with Limnotech and International Association for Great Lakes Research, can you give us an idea of what the modeling and predictions are for the rest of the season on Lake Erie? And obviously, it's continuing to grow.
Yeah, the bloom, right now it's in a spreading out phase. So, you know, today it's feeling a little bit more fall-like, and so those temperatures are tending to stop the growth of the bloom, but the water currents are spreading it out. So the bloom's going to continue to spread, and the water currents are going to continue to spread it eastward. And so we will probably see the size grow, and it is still toxic as of today. So it's a toxic, very large algal bloom growing in size and moving to the east.
Despite what many believe, though, the size of an algal bloom does not necessarily determine its toxicity. I think that's right, and I want to hear from you on that. Just 5 years ago, that bloom was so big and so toxic and moved so far to the east that it contaminated the Toledo water supply and shut off the drinking water for about 500,000 people in both northern Ohio and southeast lower Michigan. What does it look like for this year?
Toxicity is related to levels of the nutrients that we see between nitrogen and phosphorus. So more nitrogen can be a more toxic bloom. And this year, it is a toxic bloom. I mean, algal toxins were upward of 10 parts per billion, up to 20 in some shoreline samples, and even into the hundreds of parts per billion in what I call scum samples.
Is that enough to shut down a water supply? Should it get in?
Since 2014, water treatment is extremely, elevated. I mean, there's a lot more treatment that goes into it. So having toxins in the water is 100% treatable given technology available.
Well, I guess that brings us exactly to what Limnotech does. What do do when it comes to water quality issues like we're facing in Lake Erie?
You know, we're hired experts that go in and help water treatment plants, researchers understand physical, chemical, and biological processes. So me personally, I help make real-time measurements on Lake Erie, buoys and sensors. So I've been out at the Toledo water intake crib half a dozen times this year, installing, maintaining sensors. We also maintain models that predict nutrient runoff. So how is runoff from streams and rivers contributing to the growth of algal blooms in Lake Erie?
89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment continues. I'm David Fair alongside my co-host Lisa Wozniak, the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And our guest today is Ed Verhaeghe. And Ed is a project engineer with Limnotech, also serves as Vice President of the International Association for Great Lakes Research. And we're talking about the 2019 Lake Erie algae bloom.
So speaking of your work in the water quality monitoring and the data, which is so critical to tackling all kinds of water challenges, this included. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to some ways that that elected officials who might not be in-depth experts on this at all can navigate and use this information that you're tracking and collecting to make important decisions about drinking water protections and other issues?
Yeah, so I mean, the information that we're collecting helps predict where the bloom is right now and our levels changing. You know, that's important for folks that are, you know, buying chemicals to treat water that are putting those chemicals in the water. And it's also informing scientists of where to sample. This year, we hosted the largest ever sampling event on Lake Erie. As part of a coordinated sampling effort, we collected 200 samples on the same day. I mean, this bloom is so large that it took about a dozen different sampling crews to come from different ports on Canada and Michigan and in Ohio and collect samples. So just understanding what the blooms are doing right now. And as we move towards trying to prevent future algal blooms, it's, you know, are we making investments which actually make a difference in decreasing the size of future blooms?
Well, therein is the rub, because you're gathering all the science. It is going to be widely available. In your estimation, are we seeing the kind of critical examination of the science and facts put to good use in terms of legislative and regulatory policy in the Great Lakes region?
That's a loaded question. I mean, the simple answer is no. I mean, we have not seen a substantial decrease in the size of the bloom, despite lots of investment on the conservation side. We knew when we were investing these dollars that we wouldn't see an immediate return. And so picking a strategy, sticking to it, being consistent and seeing wider adoption of those strategies. So it's really that committed strategy to move from small demonstration projects, which we know are working, to, you know, how do we get 50% of farmers or cities to adopt those practices.
So speaking of funding, one particular funding stream that's spoken a lot about is the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. And some argue, including our governor, Governor Whitmer, that funding for this initiative not only be continued, but increased in order to deal with this specific issue and others. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts there?
I 100% agree with that. Every investment we make in water is always returned well more than 1-to-1, multiple to one. I think it was $3 to one for every GLRI investment. And those projects are going towards restoration. It's not, gee, let's understand this or maybe that. It's actual committed projects towards progress. So while they all haven't been focused on fixing the algal bloom crisis in Lake Erie, there's been a whole myriad of benefits across the region.
LimnoTech is a private company, but you are working hand-in-hand with government from the local to the federal. Do the solutions lie in creating more and greater public-private partnerships? Can we accomplish what is needed with only public or only private?
Public-private partnerships are always a win in my book. I mean, as a consultant, we get to move across sectors pretty freely. And when I see the private sector and the public research sectors collaborating, I mean, we just get progress that'll happen in months that would take years to formally plan how we transition. So it's really just putting these folks in the same room, putting algal scientists in the same room with the water treatment plant, saying this is what's happening and this is what you need to do. I mean, it's been remarkable. And this is being encouraged in grants. So the grant writers are requiring these public-private partnerships in the grant submission process and having actionable steps post these research grants. So they're not happening within silos anymore. I mean, what's really missing is some of the bridging across the water to watershed divide. So how do we bridge that gap? There's a lot of dimensions to the algal bloom issue.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU, and our first Friday Focus on the Environment conversation on the Lake Erie algae bloom continues with LimnoTech's Ed Verhaeghe.
Well, we know, and you've mentioned this, you've at least you've referred to it, that the ag sector runoff, in particular phosphorus, is at the root of the algal bloom issue.
Yes.
And a lot of taxpayer money has been spent on trying to increase the use of best practices and voluntary measures on farms. And yet these algal blooms, as we've been talking about today, are just seeming to get worse and larger. And so from your perspective, how can we get beyond this status quo to get a handle on the problem, like the prevention
yeah.
piece and protecting our drinking water?
Yeah. Being a farmer is a hard job. It's a lot of variables go into producing a crop, and that small percentage of nutrients that run off their field that causes this issue, it's a problem in mass, and it's not a problem for an individual farmer. And so I think we really need to rethink our whole relationship with water. And as a society, we do value that small percentage, and we are going to encourage farmers to change their practices to care about that small percentage that does run off and cause these massive problems downstream.
And as we make the transition, will it require further government subsidy in order to sustain our agricultural system?
I think subsidy's the wrong word. I there are ways of training farmers about soil health and about really focusing on the production of the land and the health of the land that's not so focused on I need money to do this. There are a lot of positive feedbacks that don't require subsidy that are just good for business.
What is the ag industry doing in that regard right now?
They're doing as much with the existing infrastructure they have. So they have a fertilizer certification program, mm-hmm. Really trying to train farmers, applying fertilizer in the right place at the right time and, you know, in the right amount. But, you know, farmers aren't often collecting enough data about their field to know to apply it in a, you know, it takes expensive equipment to have a dynamic fertilizer application to inject the fertilizer below ground. It takes trained equipment. It takes knowing the land and really how much you can back off that fertilizer. You know, if you get into nutrients, there's a lot of different kinds of phosphorus and you can measure it all kinds of different ways. There is no standard way to measure phosphorus for how much do I need to apply to my field. There's, you know, you're really relying on fertilizer manufacturers for, and their recommendations of soil test interpretations. So their incentive is when in doubt, apply more because you're going to protect the health of the crop rather than, you know, having the environment as a factor in that as well.
You have done a deep dive into the science and the examination of what is going on in our water and in this specific instance, Lake Erie. You've decided to take all of that knowledge and that information and put forth a science-based film on the issue, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I've been overwhelmed in the years and the number of partners, stakeholders, people involved. What's the problem? How do we track the problem? And, you know, one of my strategies this year and is let's use a film to try and communicate to the public all these different angles. I get access to a lot of experts and sort of behind doors discussions about what's happening, progress. And so I think this film project that we're working on will really help daylight some of those stories and just bring all that information further out.
What are you going
to
call the
public? The working title is called The Erie Situation, and it's produced.
Well,
going to be produced.
That's well done.
Yeah, The Erie Situation, produced by Great Lakes Outreach Media.
So the film, which we look forward to, and I think you said it's due when?
Mid-2020.
So that is obviously a tool that you think really important in storytelling and actually getting the word out there. Is that alone enough to actually move our decision makers to make the right decisions on this? What else needs to happen in combination with something like a film?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's enough to push the conversation beyond the downtown Toledo and, you know, folks living along the shoreline. It's got to push out a larger impact bubble. Folks are hearing a lot more about water these days. We've been talking about Flints. We've been hearing about PFAS and lead. And, I mean, the issue with why is there an algal bloom on Lake Erie, why is there a dead zone off of Cleveland right now, is really how do we treat water? Are we making systematic progress towards solving these problems? And the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement, which we don't have time to go into, has a lot of very strong language. I mean, we are lucky that the Great Lakes is a binational water body, and we have organizations that are really pressing their thumb to in Canada and the U.S. because we've signed a treaty to protect water. So those are helping a lot in planning, and there's been shift changes in these planning documents in the last 5 years.
And that's all going to be reflected, or at least portions of it, in the upcoming film?
Yes, we will be talking to as many politicians as we'll talk in front of a microphone.
So it sounds to me like you're going to have to visit us again next year and talk more about the Erie situation.
Yeah, I'd be delighted. That would be fantastic.
Ed, thank you so much for the time today. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
That is Ed Verhaeme, project engineer with LimnoTech and vice president of the International Association for Great Lakes Research. And Lisa, we'll see you again in October.
I look forward to it, David.
Lisa Wozniak is executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and co-host for WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. For more information on today's feature and to visit our archive, go to our webpage at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.